Put some BTP sports in your cup and listen up.
I came to bring the pain.
What up, though?
I came to bring the pain.
Don't fluff, just real stuff.
I came to bring the pain.
Yo, what up, though, BTP fans and supporters, and welcome to episode 11 of this season of Bring the Pain Sports Talk. After further review, I am your host, the Badger, 2004 NBA champion Detroit Pistons, here, Mitchell Brock, and I am here with the great sports Morpheus, Richard Walker.
You just got to bring up old stuff, huh?
Absolutely do. Here with Q and the crew, and we are ready to roll today. We got a lot to talk about. I just felt like being messy today. Y'all know, we got this done against the Lakers in 04.
I'm just thankful that y'all couldn't hear my comments before we got on the air.
Y'all should see how he looked at me when I walked in. Like, he looked like disrespected. Yeah. You know, but, you know, it's playoffs. It's NBA playoffs. So, you know, I'm just getting into the swing of the NBA playoffs. You understand? It's the last time we was worth a dog. So, you know.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, we had a halfway decent run after that. I mean, we went back to the finals the next year, lost to the Spurs in 7. Mm-hmm. Then LeBron came along in 08 and dethroned us. And then after 08, that was it. They broke it up after LeBron broke us up in 08. Then that was it. But, let's start off with Mr. Walker and his journey.
Well, for those of you that have been following, you know that I am the media captain for the NFL Alumni Association Weight Loss Challenge. We had an opportunity to have some of our spokespeople to join my good friend Nate Griffin of Fox 26 on
Shout out, Nate.
Yeah, shout out to Hollywood Nate.
Hollywood Nate. Always come through for
always,
us.
Always, always. The great Dick Butkus and also two-time Super Bowl champion Otis Anderson of the New York Giants had an opportunity to join my good friend Nate on the Fox 26 morning show. So we'll roll that clip real quick.
One of the most feared linebackers to play in NFL ever, and one of the most feared running backs to take a handoff. One of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The other, a two-time Super Bowl champ, Bears linebacker Dick Butkus, and Cardinals and Giants running back Otis Anderson. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure. I first want to ask you, and we'll start with you. I'll call you Mr. Butkus, okay? I'll call you Mr. Butkus. I first want to start with you.
Hey.
Yes, sir. How can people get involved? I know that you got involved. Tell us what it's done for you.
You went off the air. Who are you asking the question to?
It was Dick Butkus.
Okay.
Yeah, now I can hear you. You're going in and out.
Okay. Yeah.
So what's the question?
The question is, how did you get involved? Why are you involved, and how much has it helped you?
Oh, well, the reason I got involved in it when I heard about it was because I always thought, I kind of let myself go a little bit, and I wasn't really supposed to, because I had gone through a 5-way bypass about 20 some years ago. So I needed to get my weight down, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But I got on this program and joined that wellness challenge, and it came off, and now I'm on a maintenance program, and I thought with the loss of weight could help me health-wise, certainly with my heart condition that I had. Plus, I had neuropathy, so I thought, all right, lose some weight, it'd be a little bit easier on the old body. So I'm doing pretty good. I'm on this maintenance program now, and I would recommend it to a lot of people.
Otis Anderson, I want to ask you, how has the program helped you? Can you tell us about how much weight you've actually lost?
Well, like Dick, I did let myself get away from it. I retired in 93. I was like 240, 45 pounds. Ooh. And by the age of 55, I was 319, 320. And I thought that my wife was washing my clothes in the wrong type of water temperature. That's why I was shrinking so much. And I couldn't understand why one by 2 weeks, I wear a pair of pants, and 2 weeks later, I couldn't get back in them. So I just figured she was doing something wrong at the laundry. I was getting ready to fire her as a laundry person, but couldn't realize it wasn't her. It was me.
Yeah.
You know, I just realized, like, Dick, you know, there come a point in time when you look yourself in the face and you go, like, okay, this is not right. Something's really going on. And you got to make a difference. And being a part of this program, I have got myself right now. I'm about 275. I feel good. I like where I'm at. I probably could go to 265, but I went from a 52 waistline to a 44 waistline. Ooh. I went from a triple X, almost 4X top, now to a double XXLs on some sizes. But the program works. Like Dick said, the program works. I highly recommend it. And it just like everything else in life, it becomes, you got to be disciplined.
Gotcha. All right. Well, certainly appreciate you both joining us. The website is www.wellnesschallenge.nflalumni.org. We're going to ask people to make sure that they log in and you guys get involved with them. Thank you so much to both of you. It's an honor to talk with both of you as well. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice. My man, Hollywood Nate.
Always come through for us, man.
Nate. Awesome guy, man. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Man.
Always.
All the support for the program, not just from Nate, but all the other members of the media that supported it. I've gotten so many phone calls and texts and emails, and this is just the beginning. So, again, visit the website, wellnesschallenge.nflalumni.org. The program is open for everyone. Yeah, you heard the testimony yourself. Otis went from a 4X to a 2X.
He was, mind you, he was a running back.
Yeah.
And he was a 319 pounds.
Right.
Now, he was a big boy. Like, right. Say, he played about 240, 245, right. But 319?
Right. And he's not a very tall guy.
No.
You know, so that's a lot of weight to be carrying around. And Dick Buckus is just the ultimate tough guy. Did you hear him, how nonchalant he was? Oh, yeah, I had a five-way bypass about 20 years ago. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Right, five-way bypass. Mind you, you ain't got but five arteries.
Right.
They had to bypass all of them.
They had to bypass all of them. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. You know, that's the ultimate tough guy right there. But even he's got on program. So there's no such thing as I'm above this. I'm a tough guy. I don't need this. One of the toughest dudes walking the planet right now was successful on this program. We speak from testimony, not from theory.
That's correct.
This program works, and it's not, you're not being punished, and you don't feel deprived. I had pizza last night, man.
I like pizza.
You're gonna have to contact me to tell me how it works, but I had pizza last night.
Mm-hmm.
I had nachos the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Not the taco salad. Not that big with it. Yeah. So there are ways to enjoy a very comfortable lifestyle and still address the issue of wellness. So one other thing, I want to congratulate the entire NFL Alumni Association team that has been working on this program, Mr. Russell Allen, our director, and the crew. Last week, we won what's called the Sabre Awards. The Sabre Award recognizes superior achievement in brand reputation and engagement. There were about 350 campaigns involved in that shortlist, and the NFL Alumni Association Wellness Program won the award. So this is just the beginning.
That's right.
This is just the beginning. So that being said, it's time to do the weekly duty.
Y'all know what time it is.
Oh, get my shoes back on.
We were at 342 last week.
What was it? 330?
336.
So we have a technical issue.
We cheated.
Right.
Before we went on, we cheated.
It was 336. And, the guys all saw it.
I wouldn't lie. It was 336 the first time. And you saw we just had something going on with the scale.
Let's check it out.
And for whatever reason, it said 342. So either it lied the first time or it's lying now. I would like to say it's lying now.
Yeah.
So, but either way, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. So I tried to play it off. I just hit my knee on this. I tried to play it off, but that hurt. But anyway, so yeah, y'all go ahead, man, and go to the website, get involved in the wellness challenge, and it's good stuff, man. Y'all just heard it from two legends.
Yeah.
And first, and before we get off this subject, one thing I want to say: whoever put that clip together of Dick Butkus, I saw him crushing way too many lions in that in that clip. Okay, y'all couldn't switch it up a little bit, like all lions clips.
I mean, he was a bear, and he was in that conference. Yeah, I mean,
well, it was 30 other teams at the time. I'm like, just all lions, blah blah.
You would notice that too.
Yeah, of course I would notice that.
Yeah.
No, but shout out to Hollywood Nate as always.
Yes, and the Fox 26 team.
For sure. Yeah. We really, really appreciate that, man. Yeah. That's a major network that's always and Nate from day one. I'm gonna give him his flowers.
Yeah.
From day one. Nate, when I tell y'all, and y'all know we real, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Nate is a real one.
Mm-hmm.
The same guy that you see on TV is mm-hmm. the same guy that you see when the cameras go off. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I would say probably the two realest major network local people that's always been down is Nate mm-hmm. and Spencer Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like real down-to-earth brothers who keep it 100 at all times. So mm-hmm. shout out to Nate and the crew, man. But let's get into some basketball, man. The conference finals are well underway. We've got two games in the books on each side.
So is somebody going to tell the Mavericks that the conference finals are underway?
Man, did you see that game last night? Man,
that was sad. Yeah.
So... We remember game seven. Mm-hmm. We remember what Dallas did to Phoenix in game seven, mm-hmm. right? Luka and his crew is running around the court laughing and ha-ha and kiki-ing because they're mm-hmm. blowing them out. Mm-hmm. You saw a little bit of that last night mm-hmm. when they had GSW down by, 19, I think, was the highest?
Yeah.
And then it started.
Mm-hmm.
So it started a little bit with Steph and Klay, but it was close. Do you know that they actually took the lead after they got the lead down? Steph and Klay wasn't even on the court.
Right.
It was Kevon Looney,
mm-hmm.
Jordan Poole,
right.
Go Blue, Michigan man, Jordan Poole.
Okay, we're rubbing it in now.
Yeah, a little bit. And
you know the last shot of his college
career. I was just about to say, I wasn't going to say nothing. I wasn't going to say nothing, but since you brought it up, we remember that game against Houston.
You're trying really hard to make me cuss on air today, I swear.
It ain't hard. It ain't hard to make you cuss. That's not difficult. But Golden State, man. What's the kid name? The one that looks like Wilt Chamberlain. You know the kid.
Yeah.
But anyway, Golden State's bench and reserves came through. Mm. And that was the fear. We know about Steph. Right. We know about Klay.
Right.
Draymond is going to do what he do.
Draymond found out.
Yeah.
He had 6 points and he fouled out.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah, he's going to do what he do.
Mm-hmm.
And we said earlier in the playoffs, if Golden State can get anything out of their bench, they are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And they're showing it. Mm-hmm. They're showing it, man. They're up 2-0. So your thoughts on that series?
I think about that game last night. Those of y'all, you probably remember the viral clip of the marathon. Sprint. There's a ladies' marathon sprint, and there's the two runners. They're holding hands as they're about to cross the finish line, and then the third lady comes and just zooms by them and wins the race.
Yep.
That's what happened last night with the Warriors and the Mavs. Like they started coasting way too early.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kidd, who I have tremendous respect for, and I still go into the closet every now and then and curse because the Lakers didn't retain him and make him head coach instead of Frank Vogel. But you get an F for the second half, bro. Mm. You had to stop. You got to get your guys re-engaged, get them focused. When you saw that they start to get lazy and relaxed, and they slowly but surely start to let the Warriors back into that game, you got to stay on the Warriors' neck. You got to get them down. You got them down by 20. You need to get them down by 40.
Yep.
Because they can score so quickly
in bunches.
And while they're not a great man defense per se, like a man-to-man defensive team, when they flip that switch and they turn it on, their hustle as a team causes a lot of problems defensively, and they're able to get those hustle rebounds and take away positions, man. And so there's a couple of plays that I think about was the rebound, and then I think it was Looney who as soon as they got the rebound, he tried to turn around and try to go up court. He's standing right there. Boom, took a charge.
Yep.
Like that kind of stuff, you won't show up on the stat sheet, but that's the mentality that they switched to in the second half, and that was the big difference in that game.
And the thing about Golden State that's underrated is you kind of hinted toward it a little bit about defensively. They guard the perimeter very well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to just get off a bunch of good perimeter right. shots on them. Klay Thompson is one of the best perimeter defenders we've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Steph is an underrated perimeter defender. Now, he's not going to lock nobody up. He's not going to block any shots. But what he will do is he'll steal the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He'll steal the ball from you. And they got a bunch of lone guys. They got Jordan Poole. Otto Porter Jr. is the other one I was trying to think about. The kid that looks like Will Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. So Wiggins, of course. I mean, look at this, man. You know, Wiggins 19, Draymond 10, Looney 10, Klay 15, Steph 21. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, that was game one. I'm sorry, my bad. But there we go. Okay. Yeah, okay. So Golden State is up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying 4-1.
I don't even at this point.
Sweet.
I'm itching to pull out the broom at this point. They took their best punch in the first half, and then they just brushed it off like, oh, y'all wanna play? Y'all wanna play basketball? Okay.
Oh, what are we playing?
Hold on, hold my beer for a second.
So you don't think that they'll get one in Dallas?
I just don't know, because like Luka was bananas last night. He had 42. 40,
yeah,
and you also had the other young guy. The point guard.
Brunson. Yeah. Brunson had 30.
Brunson had
30, 31. Yep.
And they, for like a certain, that was a blowout last night.
That was it.
If you're down 20 and you lose by 10, that's a blowout.
So your starting center, Dwight Powell, guess how many points he had?
Who?
Exactly. Not a one.
Yeah.
Not a one. Mm. So that's. That can't happen.
No.
That cannot happen.
And so, you let Kevon Looney go for 21, man. Like, it's already enough to deal with Klay and Steph and Draymond. And then you let Looney go loose?
Here's the thing. I got the right game up now. I knew what happened last night, but I had the wrong stats up. I had game one stats up.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Mavericks, Reggie Bullock had 21. Finney Smith had 10.
Mm-hmm.
Powell had 0. Luka had 42, Brunson had 31.
Mm.
So you had a player with 40, 30, and 20. And you still lost
by 10.
By, what was that, 9.
Well, close
enough. And you still lost by 9. But you were up 19 and you lost by 9.
Right.
That's a 40-point swing.
Yeah.
Or 30-point swing almost.
Yep.
So, but then you look at Golden State on the flip side of that. Wiggins 16, Looney 21, Steph 32, Klay 15, Poole 23, Porter 11.
Mm.
So out of your, let me see, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Out of the 9 players who played last night, 5 of them was in double figures.
Mm.
Six out of 9 were in double figures last night.
And look at this stat. The Mavericks shot 56% from the field.
That is awesome.
That's 50% from 3. They're 14 of 28.
That's great.
That's absurd.
That's great. And you still lost by 9 points.
Right.
It's nothing else you can do. If you just look at the blind stats without looking at the actual score, you would say Dallas should have won this game. They were up by 19. They blew it.
I think, like I said, Jason Kidd, he should have called. He didn't use timeouts in the second half. Like, he didn't stop the bleeding.
Stop the run.
And he didn't make any adjustments also. I didn't see where they tried to do in the second half was trade buckets with the Warriors, and
you're not doing that.
You don't want to do that.
First of all, Dallas don't have
got the firepower to match with the Warriors.
There you go. Yeah. I was gonna say they don't have they have guys who can score. We saw that. They have one score. You got guys that can score,
right?
And you have scorers,
right?
They have one scorer,
right?
And that's Luka.
You're trying to exchange gunfire when you got an AR-15 and they got a bazooka.
Correct.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, Golden State has three scorers.
Right.
You got Steph, you got Klay, and you got Poole. Guys, not guys who can score, guys who are scorers. So you're not. And then you got the bench kicking in, 11.
Then with Draymond, when his shot's falling?
He got 10. On top of what all the other intangibles.
You're in trouble.
That was like, not to make it a Pistons thing, but to go back to like Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
If Dennis Rodman scored 10 points, we won.
Right.
Because he done already got 20 rebounds.
Right.
And blocked 3-4 shots and got all these different hustle plays. Mm-hmm. And then you put 10 points.
On top of that.
Draymond is this. I'm not saying he's as good as Dennis Rodman. Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
But he's this generation's Dennis Rodman.
Right.
He does the intangibles. He plays defense. He guards. And if you get some points out of him, it's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap. So, I'm going. So, you going with the broom?
I'm going with the broom.
I'm going to go 4-1. I think Dallas will get one at the house. I think they'll get one at the house. But we'll see. We'll talk about it next week. Should be over by next week.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be over.
By the time we see you next week, this should be over with.
They will not be around to see episode number 12 of BTP Sports.
I mean, but if you do, go ahead and to the Believe Network and all the different podcast platforms and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over to the East Side. You got 1-1. You got 1-1. You got Boston and Miami.
Mm.
And we saw what happened in game one, which was a little bit tainted, if I'm going to be honest with you, because Boston was missing Horford and Smart, and they lost big, right? So now everybody's back, and they beat Miami by 25.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your thoughts on that series?
It's going to go all the way. I think I mentioned this the last series. They have blown me away by their the physical nature that they play with. I had no idea.
Boston?
Yeah. That Boston is so physically tough. And having those guys around, having Horford, man, he is the real MVP.
Yep.
He is the real, that extra guy that just, as we kind of mentioned with Draymond, he's that guy that does those things that won't show up on the stat sheet.
Yep.
And having him back was big for them.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler's going to be Jimmy. You know that. But to be able to match them physically speaking, this is going to be a tough series, and it's going to go all South 7.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I respect about Jimmy Butler, and I don't know if you saw his post-game interview last night, but Russell Westbrook, if you're listening, this is what a star does.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler sat on the podium and he said, "This is on me."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I have to play better.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make better plays. I have to do a better job of getting my teammates involved."
Mm-hmm.
He literally said, and I quote, "I got selfish on the offensive end and I tried to do it all myself. I have to do a better job of facilitating and getting my teammates involved." That's what a star does, Russell Westbrook. He doesn't sit there and get offended.
Right.
When people ask or tell the truth.
Or criticize him.
Right.
Because no one is above criticism, especially when you're not delivering.
That's right. That's right. And Jimmy put up 29, 6, and 3, which is
very respectable. That's a good game still.
You know we're playing in a different era of basketball when a guy put up 29 and we say it's respectable.
Right.
Like, remember it in the 80s and
90s? 30 was like the jaw-dropping game. Like, man, I went for 30.
Right. Now it's just like, oh, you hit 30?
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story, yeah.
Yeah, but look at the rest of it, though. Jimmy had 29. P.J. Tucker had 5. I mean, that's what P.J. do.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Vincent had 14. Victor Oladipo had 14. I'm going to tell you who they need more out of if they're going to win this series, and that is Tyler Hero. He had 11.
And that's not going to cut it.
No. Not with, first of all, we know you can do better because we've seen you do better. Mm-hmm. They got to get more because those are – Jimmy Butler's a scorer. Okay, Bam Adebayo only had 6.
Got to do better.
That's the only interior presence y'all got.
Right.
And you only got 6 out of him?
Right. Got to do better than that, man.
He had 9 boards. Okay. Okay, cool. But Tyler Hero, there's absolutely no way Gabe Vincent. I said Google. And my phone picked up. Victor Oladipo. There's no way Victor Oladipo, and no disrespect against Vic, because he's a stud. He was killing it in Indiana before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But there's no way he should outscore Tyler Hero.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I agree with that.
They got to get more. They got to get more out of other guys. But like I said, Jimmy Butler took accountability and said, this is on me. So let's go over to the Boston side. Good night, bro. Look at this. Al Horford, 10. Tatum, 27. Smart, 24. Jaylen Brown, 24. Grant Williams, 19. Peyton Pritchard had 10. Bro.
Everybody.
Come on, man. So let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All 12 played last night. Mm. They won by 25. So of course they did.
The bus driver went for 5 points and 5 rebounds.
You got your sneaks on? All right. Gonna get you a couple minutes.
Get you a couple minutes, fam.
So out of the 12 players that played, 7 of them was in double figures. Mm. And like you said, to go back to Boston's physicality, here's the thing that's underrated about Boston. Boston has a big team. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum, it may not look like it, but this dude is 6'8", like 210 pounds. Right. Jaylen Brown is a big dude. He's about 6'6", 6'7", about 200 pounds. We know Marcus Smart is built like a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Grant Williams is a stocky dude. Mm-hmm. Al Horford is a big guy.
Right.
So that's the most underrated part about the Celtics.
Right.
They got big guys that can move and score and put the ball in the bucket.
Right.
Now, we both picked GSW out the east, out the west before the series started. Mm-hmm. And in the east, did we both say Boston?
I said Miami.
You said Miami?
Yeah.
Okay. I said Boston.
Well, it's natural for me because as a Laker fan, I just can't stand the Celtics. So.
Bro, we're on the same boat.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like every
if year. If it happens, that for me and the other Laker fans, it would be like hell on earth to have Warriors and the Celtics in the finals because we really can't stand either one of them. So.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously growing up in Detroit in the 80s in the Bad Boys era, yeah. I hate any and everything that looks like a Boston Celtic.
Yeah.
Larry Bird. I don't even like green.
I don't like Lucky Charms because it's too close to the leprechaun.
And then my high school rival was called the Shamrocks.
Oh, man.
So I got tired of looking at Shamrocks, man. So we're on the same boat with that. Yeah. I don't like the Boston Celtics, but I think they're a better team, honestly. So we'll see how that plays out, man. We'll see how that plays out. So we've got a very, very good series. Mm-hmm. But let's get off into a little bit of the NFL. So teams have started their OTAs. Mm-hmm. They've started rookie camp. And we haven't heard much about your Cowboys.
That's a good thing.
Silence is
golden for the Cowboys because every year it's the same old routine. Oh, we're going to have a great year. We're so talented. We have the potential to win the Super Bowl. This is the best group of players that we've got together in a long time. It's the same old dog and pony show every year. And then you hear the Cowboys the Cowboys affiliates start posting the same foolishness that they do every year. This is our year. We're going to take it all. Blah. Insert quarterback here is the best quarterback in the league. The same foolish stuff over and over again that we're all tired of. So.
The headline, one of the headlines for the Cowboys that I saw earlier this week was the potential of Jerry Jones selling the team. And Jerry Jones said,
Elon Musk, if you're listening, that money that you was going to pay up for Twitter, I'm just saying, please.
Jerry said, I will never. I think the rumor was somebody offered him $10 billion.
yeah.
for the Cowboys, and he said please. He would never sell
please,
the Cowboys.
Elon, please. Think Tesla Stadium. Tesla Stadium. That sound good, don't it?
That would be dope.
Tesla man. Stadium.
Tesla
please,
Stadium.
Please. Please help. Help me. Get this man out of there, man. I'm so. Where
it's okay.
I'm
man.
Sure Texas Ram has right, some bro. Descendants out there or something. Like so please somebody, please. Tom, did Tom Landry have any kids? Like ugh. I mean, somebody please rescue us real Cowboys fans from those affiliates and from the Jerry Jones era, man. Please, we're begging you, please. We tired of this, man.
Sick and tired.
Okay.
Tired of this.
All right, we sorry.
Oh,
whatever we did, we're sorry. Sorry. Please, we apologize.
Yes.
Please, football guys, stop punishing us with this owner. Somebody's got some tapes or something, a scandal, something that can get Jerry Jones kicked out the league. Please.
Oh, somebody something. Got something.
Please. Oh, you got it. Please come on out with it. Please.
Oh, Lord.
Help us. Help me. Help.
So, of course, my Lions are preparing to be on Hard Knocks. And
y'all want Jerry Jones?
Nah, we, okay. Bro, we got our own problems with owners. Are you kidding me? The Fords? Man, listen, all these dudes care about, guys and gals, all they care about is selling cars and putting butts in seats. That is it. Now, old man Ford, senior, passed away. Mm-hmm. Junior was calling the shots anyway, because old man Ford had been sick for a while. Mm-hmm. So, Junior came in, started running the show, and he brought in Martha, which is his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm sorry, his sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing what she do, you know. Now, I will give her this credit. She hires football people. She's like, look, I don't know nothing about this. This dropped in my lap. She hired a good GM who seems to be doing good things, and we will see what happens. We will see what happens. But one thing that I did want to talk about as far as the NFL is this accelerator program, this diversity program that he's triggered. There's a diversity accelerator program. And I'm going to read to you what it entails. Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and Tampa Bay offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, who, in my opinion, are both way overdue for head coaching jobs, mm-hmm. are among more than 60 diverse head coach and general manager candidates slated to attend the inaugural coach and front office accelerator program next week at the NFL spring meetings in Atlanta. Each NFL team nominated at least one candidate. The two-day program, which is scheduled to take place on Monday and Tuesday, to coincide with the NFL meetings. I'll say this and then I'll turn it over because he's itching. The main goal of the program is to get minority candidates for head coach and GM openings FaceTime with the league's highest ranking decision makers. Because I know he got a lot, so I'm going to get mine out the way quick. I'm going to read that again. The main goal of the program is to get minority candidates for head coach and GM openings FaceTime with the league's highest ranking decision makers. Is this 1985? Do we not have social media? Do we not have cell phones? Do we not have FaceTime? You know, you don't have to get on a plane and have a whole summit to get FaceTime. They know who these guys are. They know how to get in touch with them. If you want to interview Eric Bieniemy, you know how to get in touch with Eric Bieniemy and say, hey, come on down to the facility, or let's meet me at this restaurant. Let's go to dinner. Let's have a conversation. Go.
Why in the hell do you have to have a freaking mixer in order
in so many
to
words.
Entice NFL decision makers to stop being freaking racist. Biased and racist. I don't give a damn about whether or not you know me or you need to spend FaceTime with me. To me, it's very simple. You get a pool of candidates. You look at their credentials. You review their performance on their current role as it pertains to the potential of that translating to success in a higher role with your organization. Eric Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich, Super Bowl winners as coordinators.
Champions.
Super Bowl champions as coordinators. Coached Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And Hall of Fame potential in the case of Patrick Mahomes. Well,
oh, he's already. He retired today. He's in Hall of Fame, for sure.
Let's call him Hall of Fame. He's getting in.
He retired today. He'll be in.
You have those guys who put together extensive, comprehensive game plans. They call the plays in the quarterback's headset. They're not guys that just sit around in film room and talk theory and all this other bullshit. They are the guys that are pressing the buttons that the guys are executing on the field to win championships. Someone tell me why you have guys with little to no experience and little to no success that they determined are higher or more qualified candidates than those two guys. And what's different about the candidates that were selected besides those two guys?
They're older? Is that it?
They like the color green instead, I guess.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
Okay, my
bad. Or maybe they're better at poker. Maybe
golf.
Yeah, they're better at golf. Or, you know, Bieniemy probably like put too much cream in his coffee.
Is he too short?
Because,
you know, he's a little guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Too short?
Yeah. Nah. There is no logical excuse as to why, at a minimum, one or if not both of those guys should be a head coach, right? Now, you don't have to try to impress us, man. And I get it. The league is trying to do whatever they can because the line of demarcation is the league can only do what they can do from an administrative perspective to try to foster and create things. But ultimately, the ownership and the leadership teams, the leadership of the NFL teams are the ones who are going to call the shots anyway.
Correct.
So until we have a changing of the guard at those higher level positions with people that are more progressive and just a little bit less racist, then we're not going to see impact meaningful change. Yeah, they'll sprinkle a few of them in there. They'll throw a bone or they'll throw a cup of water on the fire when Brian Flores files a lawsuit, Houston Texans. You know, that you'll have a couple of those hires, but you will not have a legitimate, truly unbiased hiring process. And it's not even a bang on the NFL itself. This is America.
That's
y'all.
The world. I'm about
this
to say.
This is America.
That's America.
Wells Coming Fargo right now just got popped because they did an audit and found out that they literally used to schedule interviews with black candidates just to fill the affirmative action quotas. Mm-hmm. And they had already made offers to candidates, but they turned around and had interviews with candidates of black and female candidates just to fill out the quotas afterwards. So they
sound familiar to you?
Yeah, hello.
Sound like the Rooney Rule to me.
Yeah, yeah. In reverse.
Yeah.
So they go hire the candidate, they go ahead and start working on getting them on board. Oh, damn, forgot. We supposed to talk to them black people. Yeah. Oh, look, there's one right here. Hey, you. Hey, excuse me, Mr. Black guy. You want an interview? Okay, come on in.
You coach your kids' pee-wee team?
Yeah, ask that. Come on in. And then they interview unqualified, clearly unqualified candidates just to check the boxes.
Wasting people's time.
Yep.
Wasting people's time.
Until that changes, we won't see meaningful and impactful change.
To me, and I'm going to be honest with you, to me, it's insulting and it's a slap in the face to say you called it a what'd you call it?
A mixer.
Right. No, I got a better one for you. It's a job fair.
Right.
It's a job fair.
Yeah.
Like FaceTime.
Right.
They don't even do job fairs anymore. No. Do you know why? Because we got technology.
Right.
It's not like these higher ups, executives or decision makers don't know who Eric Bieniemy is. Mm-hmm. It's not that they don't know who Byron Leftwich is. Like you say, both of these men have won Super Bowls. Eric Bieniemy has been the three of them.
Right.
He's only won one, but he's been the three.
Right.
Byron Left, when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, their entire coaching staff was black.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say minority. I said black, African American. Bruce Arians was the head coach. All four of their coordinators, offense, defense, special teams were all black.
And Todd Bowles had to inherit a head coach job.
When Arians just decided he didn't want to coach
no more. Oh, I don't want this no more. Here you go. And just threw him the job. That's how he got it.
Yep.
His job. And he's a Super Bowl winner also.
Correct. He was the OC when they won it. DC.
Brian Flores led the Dolphins to their first winning record in, I think, like 13 years.
And was week 17 game away from
making going to the playoffs.
What did they win, like 7 or 8 games in a row?
Right. And he can't get another head coaching job, but
he's in a good place right now, though.
Yeah.
He's over there in Pittsburgh with Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
And one shout out to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most loyal. Bro, listen. We the same age. I'm 45 years old, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have had 3 head coaches in my lifetime. But I'm going to say that one more time. I'm 45 years old, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have had 3 coaches in my lifetime.
And one of them retired. Well, right. Two of them retired.
Yeah. Chuck Noll
and
Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
And Mike Tomlin are the only
two of the guys retired.
So they don't fire.
They don't fire. They retire.
And Coach Tomlin, one of the most well-respected men, not coaches, not that he's not respected as a coach, but he's more respected as a man, and he will probably tell you the same thing, than a coach, right? He looked black to me, and he black. Tomlin's a brother. Like some of these black coaches, you listen to him and you'd be like, Tomlin is a bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so he's won a Super Bowl, all right? So you see, a brother can be successful in that position. So why not give more of us the shot?
Especially when they've proven themselves. Nobody's asking for a handout.
No. We're
asking for equity.
No.
You got two
these men
guys
have earned it,
have
man.
Proven track records. Why is it so difficult to select one of them and say, hey, this guy took. You remember how bad the Kansas City Chiefs used to be?
Yeah. Yeah.
They used to get curb stomped by all the other AFC West teams.
Yep.
They were a joke.
Yep.
And he came into that team along, in all fairness, along with Andy Reid, and they changed the culture. They got them a star quarterback. They created a monster offensive system, and they're very successful, and they won a Super Bowl.
No, they didn't. Eric Bieniemy did.
Bieniemy did, yeah.
The most high-powered offense of this generation was created by Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
He told them, I want Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
We live in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd heard of Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't nobody thinking about Patrick Mahomes like that.
Nope.
Eric Bieniemy said,
I want that guy.
Tyreek Hill came out of.
They had a quarterback. They had Alex Smith.
Alex Smith.
He was still balling at
the time.
Right.
He said, no. I want that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill. Had you heard of Tyreek Hill before the Chiefs drafted him? Eric Bieniemy said,
I want that guy. Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce.
Never heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Made all of these guys superstars in his system and won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you telling me this man can't head coach? Here's the thing. Here's what they recognize. They recognize that we have the talent to coach football.
Right.
They believe. You think about it. Again, I'll say one more time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers' entire coordinating staff when they won the Super Bowl was black. So they realize, you look at all the coordinators, almost all these teams got all black coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my Lions. We got Deuce Staley. We got Aaron Glenn. We got all these brothers that's coaching football. This is what they're saying. You know what? We know you know football. We know you can relate to the guys because we've been in NFL locker rooms. We've been in NFL. We've been around the NFL. We understand that. In the meeting rooms, the head coach is not leading.
Right.
The receivers.
It's the position coaches.
Everybody got their own room. The receivers, quarterbacks, linemen, offensive line, defense, everybody got their own room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who's leading. So they recognize, okay, you can relate to the guys Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You can teach these guys football, but we don't believe you can lead.
Right.
We don't believe you can lead
an organization.
Right. We don't believe you can be the face of our organization.
Right.
That is a slap in the face.
Right.
That is a slap in the face. So this is a joke. This is an absolute joke. And now, and I'm not going to knock the NFL because they're trying. They're trying.
It's just sad that they even have to do such a thing to try to encourage owners and decision makers just to stop freaking being racist.
Yep. Now, some of these guys, I'm looking at the list because each organization is sending two guys. Mm-hmm. Quentin Harris, Vance Joseph, mm-hmm. Charles London, Anthony Robinson, Chris Horton, Terrence Gray, Eric Washington, Jeff Nixon. Okay. Some of these guys, I get it. I never heard of some of these guys. Mm-hmm. But two people who have absolutely no business having to do this is Eric Bieniemy and Byron Leftwich. Mm-hmm. That's my problem. Now, something like this is good for some of these young brothers who really just trying to get their neck, trying to get a little recognition and get a little FaceTime. Mm-hmm. Okay, my Lions are sending Ray Agnew and Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn's been around a while. Mm-hmm. He came from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't with them when they won the Super Bowl. No. But he was around when they were having success.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Saints had a dog defense the past few years.
Yes, they have.
That was Aaron Glenn's work. Right. And shout out to Aaron Glenn, mm-hmm. Coach with the Houston Stallions here in Arena Football mm-hmm. years and years ago. Mm-hmm. They hadn't folded. I was going to be a center if they didn't fold. But the Texans are sending Pep Hamilton.
Pep's been around for a while.
Another time. One who has no business in something like this. Mm-hmm. Go Blue. He's a Michigan man. Mozeke McCurtis. I never heard of her. Or him, Mozeke. That could go either way. I'm not sure. That could be a man or a woman. I'm not trying to be funny, but mm-hmm. I don't know. So some of these guys, I get it. But some of these guys, there's no way they should have to do this. But we'll see how it goes, man.
But you know, the NFL, you have the ultimate evaluation process, mm-hmm. performance. It's no different than any other employer. Like, they may not know who Mitchell Brock is,
right?
But the NFL has the advantage of actually seeing you work
right.
in another role. So it's like if you go to an interview with a company and, you know, they don't know who the heck you are. All they got to do is go based off your references and your resume.
Right.
These guys are getting to see you actually work every day.
Every day.
With another team, albeit in a different role. So they get to see the traits that you have, the capabilities that you have. So why do I need to get to know you
right.
on a personal note? That's BS.
Well, it's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, it's nothing wrong with wanting to meet with a guy just to see how he is, because you could be a great football coach, but you could be hard to work with. You could be hard to work for. You could be a distraction. You may have bad habits off the field that may come into the locker room. We've seen that happen. So I don't have a problem with them wanting to get to know who they're going to hire. But there are certain guys who should not have to go through this process.
Yeah, and I remember, I think a year or two ago, the NFL even had a thought process of awarding draft picks to teams that hire minority GM or a head coach or, you know, something of that nature. You know, higher level positions. They were even talking about awarding draft picks.
That,
like, you got a problem to not be racist, man. Come on.
And you know what? I'm not gonna say minority, because there aren't a lot of minority coaches that are qualified.
Right.
It's a lot of black.
Right.
BLACK. And that's
you got to be careful with that too, because now they're spinning that also. Oh, my great, great, great.
Oh, the guy that said he was mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, man.
Mixed with what?
That was it. Buffalo. What was that coach that they, no, the Texans new coach. Who was the guy who said he was, or was it Miami?
Miami.
Yeah.
The guy that replaced Brian Flores.
Yeah. Oh, well, my great, great, great grandmother was black. Listen, you don't want to go into history with me because I can break it all the way down. Everybody, if you go deep, my grandmother's grandmother was white as his shirt. Mm-hmm. I got pictures of her. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, I guess I'm white, right? I guess
we're white then. Yeah.
So miss me with that, bro. Miss me with that. But you don't get me started. So listen, man, this has been a great show. We got the weight loss challenge going on. And of course, if you are not following us on social media, I highly recommend you do so. We are on Look at this. This is what I'm talking about. I ain't got to memorize it no more because it's right in front of my face. We are on Instagram at BTP_sports. We're on Facebook at BTP Sports, Twitter, BTP Sports, and the Believe Network, www.bleav.com. And I will wrap up by saying this. And you know us here at BTP Sports. We're transparent. We're transparent. And for one, before I say that, all of you guys who have supported us on these platforms, all my Lee Youngs, my Aaron Glasbys, my Frank, my nephew, all my guys who watch us, Cliff, Gransberry, everybody who watches us on Instagram and Facebook, you guys have platforms, so you get it. Listen, check this out. We are on every podcasting platform on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Google, Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, Apple, every single podcasting platform. And guess what, y'all? These things don't pay for themselves. So while we support, while we appreciate the support from the free social media streaming platforms, we got bills to pay. And we pay those bills by getting clicks and hits on those podcasting platforms, more specifically the Believe Network. The studio, this ain't free. When we travel to bring y'all exclusive content from the front row of the NFL draft, from ringside of a Roy Jones boxing event,
mm-hmm.
from courtside at the Final Four,
from the Hall of Fame,
from the Super Bowl, guess what? None of that's free. None of that's free. So we need your support. And when we say support, we mean watching the show. But when we say support, we also mean tangible support. And the way we do that is by getting clicks and hits on the podcast, podcasting platforms and the Believe Network. So if you really rock with us, you will go watch on those platforms. And guess what? The numbers don't lie. We got access. We can see how many clicks. Even if you don't watch the whole show, just click the button, mm-hmm. man. Click the got button. Click the button. What movie was that?
Rush Hour.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. But that's it. That's what it is, y'all. We ain't throwing y'all away, but we got bills to pay.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a t-shirt to me. We ain't throwing y'all away, but we got bills to pay. But
today.
But for the Great Sports Morpheus on Twitter, he is DA Great Sports Morpheus. On Twitter, I am at Big M Brock. And for Q and the crew, thank you. And we will see you next week.